This morning's reading is Psalm 130. It's a song of ascent. You can find it in the Pew Bible on page 585 if you want to follow along, and it's on the screen. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As we stand, shall we pray? As we continue our sermon series in these Psalms of Ascent, let's pray to our Father in heaven. Lord God, we thank you for the new life we have in Christ Jesus. Thank you that he has given us eternal life. But Lord, you know how hard it is sometimes to live for you in this world. And we pray that now by your Holy Spirit, you would help us to hear your voice. Help us not to be distracted from all the other voices we hear around us in the world, but to keep our eyes focused on Christ. And please strengthen us to live for him. We ask this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's begin with a little bit of trivia. Where is the deepest place on earth? Any idea? Where is the deepest place on earth? Anyone? The Pacific Ocean? Can we have something a little bit more precise? Wendy? The Mariana Trench? Thank you very much, Wendy, over there. If you don't know where the Mariana Trench is, let me show you. There we are. It's an underwater trench, and you can see it's just north of what? Indonesia, Australia, that part of the world. At its deepest part, it is 11 kilometers deep. You could put Mount Everest into this trench and still have 2 kilometers to spare. The pressure at the bottom of this trench is 15,750 pounds per square inch. Our car tires are 54 pounds per square inch. At the bottom of this trench, it is more than 1,070 times the standard pressure that we have on Earth. You would think this the most inhospitable place to live. But even man has begun to explore these parts of the world and even discovered life down at the very bottom of the Mariana Trench. These sort of man-submersibles, they go right down the very bottom. They take scientific readings. The surface has been mapped out. But this morning, we're going to go somewhere even deeper, to the very depths of human emotion and suffering and feeling. You might think, well, that's a very deep part of the world. But this morning, we're going into a very different type of depth. If you have your Bibles open in front of me, it's again Psalm 130. It's these red pew Bibles, page 585. And as we come to this Psalm, Psalm 130, we begin in the depths. Let me just read it to you again. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. We begin with a cry from the very depths of the human soul, a time of overwhelming distress and anguish. This is the sort of territory where Jonah is praying in the belly of the whale in the heart of the sea. This is the cry of the Hebrew slaves as they were building the pyramids in Egypt. This is the cry of the apostles Peter and Paul, Peter and John, when they were languishing in prison, having been beaten for proclaiming the gospel after Pentecost. In the depths we cry out and praise God, He hears our voice. The depths in the Hebrew language and in the Old Testament always symbolizes chaos. The sea, the deep places, the depths, it always symbolizes chaos. The forces of this world fighting against God. Even in the strange symbolism we have in the book of Revelation, the beast appears with different heads and horns spouting blasphemy, and it arises out of the sea. At the beginning of the book of Genesis, in the creation story, we have God creating order out of chaos, symbolized by the land and the sea separating. Out of the depths, out of the chaos, we can cry out to God. So very naturally, the psalmist begins to think, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Here there's no British reserve. Here there's no stiff upper lip. There's no putting on a face here. The writer lets it all hang out from his innermost being, from the real guts. Here's a cry in the middle of the night when we are sleepless, and we're crying out for our children. Here's the cry in the middle of the night when we're crying out for others in a medical emergency, when we don't know where to turn because we can't pay the rent, or something else catastrophic is happening to us. From the very depths of our soul, we cry out to the Lord, and he hears us. And I think we need to understand this morning that we need to hear that we can be a man or woman of faith and still cry out from the depths. This is not a cry of disbelief. This is not a cry of the atheist. This is a cry from the man or woman of God who knows God, who loves God, and yet cries out from the very bottom of their heart and soul. From the deepest of places, we have the deepest of prayers. And the closer we come to God, the more open and honest we can be before him. We can cry out this morning to the one who gave up everything for us. So there's no shame or embarrassment in bearing our soul before God. And that's the great thing as we read through the book of Psalms. Here's utter honesty and openness and being authentic. This is no putting on a face. This is being honest before God. Even when we feel like drowning, we can cry out to the Lord, who always hears the cries of his people. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Lord, hear my cry. And as the psalmist moves on, then we actually have an idea of confessing our sins, as we've just done in our liturgy this morning. You see, the Bible is very, very open and honest about human nature. Sometimes we're told, don't be so morbid. Focus on the nice things of life, the power of positive thinking. Let's just be positive. Let's not focus on the dark side of life. But if we're honest, human nature can sometimes be very dark. I love this poster that Amnesty International put out a few years ago. On one side is a pile of skulls. I think it's from the killing fields in Cambodia. And on the other side is a man on the moon. And that's human beings, isn't it? We can be capable of the most horrible evil and depravity, but also the most extraordinary works of science, of art, of culture, and beautiful things. There's two sides to the human nature. And if we're honest with ourselves, there's darkness in the world, but there's also darkness in all of us that needs to be dealt with. If we truly believe at heart that we're all good, then we have no need for a savior. If we honestly believe this morning that all human beings are good and they do not need to be forgiven, they haven't really understood the need for a savior in the Christian faith. Let me just read you a little quote from a wonderful Russian novelist called Alexander Solzhenitsyn. And he's writing this novel from the depths of a Soviet gulag. And he's a man who knew something about human suffering and the power of hope in dark places. Solzhenitsyn says this: the line separating good and evil passes not through states, not between classes, nor between political parties either, but right through every human heart and through all human hearts. You see, if we're honest with ourselves, we can sort of blame other people. We can blame the system. We can blame politics. We can blame economics. But the problem in the human heart is us. Each one of us needs to be right with God. And the psalmist recognizes the truth of the human situation. Verse 3, if you're looking at it in our reading. Verse 3, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? And that's the truth, isn't it? If our lives were weighed, how many of us could really stand innocent and good before God? How many of us could plead not guilty? Well, none of us. None of us are perfect. We've all fallen down in many different ways. And our sins separate us from a loving and good God. But look at verse 4. Here's the most extraordinary but in the Bible. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. See, when we come before God, he is full of grace. He is full of mercy and love. And we realize with amazement that when we come to Jesus Christ, when we are forgiven, when we are cleansed, all our past is done away with. Listen to these words from Psalm 103. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. But as far as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Friends, is that not good news? That God keeps no record of wrongs. Whatever we've done in the past, that is the past. It is wiped away, it is wiped clean, and we can start again with Christ Jesus. And this psalm leads us straight to the gospel of the Lord Jesus. This may have been written 1,000 years before Jesus, yet it takes us straight to why Jesus came. In the story of that first Christmas, we hear the words of the angel to Joseph. And it's important that we understand what the angel is saying about why Jesus had to come. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That is why Jesus came. Jesus came not to be just a great storyteller, not just to be giving us real wisdom. He gave up his life that we could be forgiven. Jesus himself said, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And we are sitting here today as people who are ransomed. If we're trusting in Christ, the price has been paid, and Jesus has taken all our sins away. But with you, there is forgiveness. Whatever our past, whatever drags us down, Jesus wants to bring freedom and forgiveness. Let me tell you a little story of what happened maybe about 15 years ago. I was working in a church in Wandsworth in South London. I just finished doing the afternoon service. I think it was on a Thursday afternoon. And a man slipped into the church with a really haunted look on his face. He was an ex-soldier whose life had fallen apart once he had left the forces. He had been a paratrooper who had fought in the Falklands War in 1982. When the Argentinian forces had surrendered, he had killed a young unarmed conscript, and the death had haunted him ever since. The face of that young Argentinian conscript was forever seared upon his soul and his conscience. And we then had an extraordinary chat about the power of forgiveness. We cannot ultimately forgive ourselves. Ultimately, it is a gift from God. Jesus died that we can know and experience forgiveness for ourselves. I never saw that man again. I don't know what he ultimately decided to believe or do. But I do pray that he find hope and release in the end. It is a great thing that we can have forgiveness through the cross of Christ. And because of that, we can have confidence. If first of all in this psalm we have the cry, then we have a confession, then we have our confidence. Our psalm reminds us when all is said and done, our confidence and trust is in God. We cannot trust in our own health and strength, because one day our bodies will fail us. We cannot trust in our own bank balance, our pension. Inflation will eat it away. Investments rise and fall. We can't take it with us. We don't have all the answers, but we do know that God is our rock and our foundation. Look at verse 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. More than those who watch for the morning. And when we're told to wait on God, it doesn't mean we just fold our arms, put our feet up, and rest. Waiting on the Lord is putting all our trust and confidence in what God has done for us. A watchman perseveres through the long night in the sure expectation that the dawn will come. Light will come into the darkness. God has promised he will come to us. He has promised he will hear our cries and our prayers. So let's not pray and just think we're whistling in the wind, throwing our requests just aimlessly into the sky. We wait with expectation that God will hear us and answer our prayers. And this morning, we stand with Christians around the world. We stand on the word of God as God speaks his words of hope to us. The writer wrote before the cross. We read these words after the cross. We can see something of the whole picture which they never could. We are in an extraordinary privileged position this morning. And as we read about this great God of forgiveness and mercy, we understand that that God has come to us as a baby in a manger, the one who is full of life and hope and forgiveness. He comes to us. And our psalm has the language of the slave market. Verse 7, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. That idea of redemption, we pay the price and we gain our liberty and freedom. Jesus paid the price that we could be free. That's why we are redeemed. And we now live our lives in obedience, in service and thanksgiving because of what God has done for us. So I wonder this morning, are we waiting on God? Is that where our assurance really is? Do we understand that it's not about being good, but it's about receiving the gift? God does not treat us as we deserve, but he treats us with extraordinary kindness and grace and mercy. We have to put out our hands and receive that gift and receive all that Christ has done for us. And I pray this morning that our hearts would be full of gratitude that God did not leave us where we were, but he comes to us and brings us hope and new life and forgiveness. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Shall we pray together? Lord, I thank you that you hear our voice. Sometimes, Lord, we find ourselves in very dark and deep places. Sometimes we pray and it seems that our prayers are just bouncing off a ceiling and we cannot get through to you. Lord, give us the faith to persevere, to keep on going in our Christian lives. Lord, we thank you for these great truths that we read in your word this morning. Help us to truly wait upon you. May our assurance and our confidence be in you today. Now, Lord, we think of other friends and family who are going through dark times. Lord, give them the insight, give them the eyes to trust in you and to cry out to the only one who can bring life and hope. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, who gave up everything for us. In his name we pray. Amen.